We are starting now a shiur in Parshas Bo. Today it's actually the night of Dalet Shvat Tov Shin Ayin Zayim, and then corresponding to the English calendar, it is January 30th, 2017. We are going to focus on the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which actually is expressed in the last perek of Parshas Bo. That's the perek Yud Gimel. It begins Shvi'i on page 360 in the art scroll. And when you say we're referring to the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it means the purpose of the Ten Makas, the purpose of the Jewish people being redeemed with such miracles that were way beyond nature, very supernatural. And there was a purpose for this. The purpose of all of these miracles was to be able to show the Jewish people for the very, very first time who Hashem is really and how much control He has over the entire universe. And the Bnei Yisrael for the very first time had been on vacation from their slavery, watching this tremendous presentation of God's might, and as a result being given a very heavy dose of emuna, of faith in Hashem, watching how Hashem is saving the Jewish people. Although I'm going to go back a little bit from Parshas Va'era and into Bo, talking about the Ten Makas, the Or HaChaim explains that each Makkah had a specific purpose. Each Makkah was to show God's tremendous superiority over the natural phenomena of the world, going from the lowest to the highest. And just to briefly go through it, to ultimately get to my subject of the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, just talk about just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direct involvement in saving the Jewish people. We begin with the Makkah of Dam. What happened with Dam? Hashem showed His power over water, over the marine life, where Hashem was able to take water and suddenly turn into blood. And as a result, all of the marine life died. And they couldn't stop it. Hashem then showed His power over the amphibian, half in water, half on land, such as a frog. Hashem showed the power that He had over that level of existence. Then Hashem showed He had the power over the insect world, such as Kinim, where again they were at God's mercy, couldn't do anything about it. Hashem showed His power over that even the magicians themselves said, Etzbel Lakim, this is a sign from God, because they couldn't do anything smaller than a seora, a barley, magic for the purposes of performing their magic. They couldn't perform magic on anything smaller than a barley. And then Hashem showed His power not only over the insect world, but after Orav Kinim, it's Orav. After Kinim comes Orav. Orav is a mixture of wild animals, where Hashem showed that He had complete control over the mammals, the animal world, where naturally speaking animals are afraid of people. And now they all came rushing into Egypt to destroy, kill, maim, obliterate civilization. Again, they couldn't stop it. After Orov came Dever. Now Hashem shows his power not only over the animal, but over the life of the animal. Where now the animal's life, the chius, its existence, also was at the mercy of God. And if the animals were not brought into their homes, or into their stalls, into any protective area, then they would die. And they couldn't stop it.
Or you could say it over bacteria and viruses, which...
We didn't get to that. After whatever comes Shin, comes now the viruses.
Uh-huh.
Now that's the next thing. You got it. Hashem is going up the scale. Hashem has complete control over bacteria, viruses, microorganisms. Couldn't stop it. No one could stop it. Hashem showed his superiority over that as well. After comes Shin, came what?
Borrowed
the hailstone. Now is the weather, the atmosphere, where we know that water and fire are the two arch enemies of each other. What greater sign of the Almighty's power by showing that the two merge together in a ball of ice and destroyed anything that it came into contact and then burned it. And they couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it. B'nai Yisrael is sitting like in Cheder, in a school of Emunah, the learning of this is God's existence. They've never seen anything like it. After that, after Barod, came Arba. Hashem's control over the wind that carried the arbor, the locusts, in such horrendous numbers that came about and just ate everything in its path. I once seen a picture of a plague of locusts. It was called the pink locust in Africa. And I had that, I saved that article. I don't have it with me now, but I saved that article. Incredible article. How with the plague of locusts, all of a sudden, when they land on a field, they eat everything up. We're talking about thousands and thousands of tons of grain in a short amount of time. And they destroy anything in their path. And this is that actually there are such a modern plagues like this even today. I saw a picture of a car being trapped by these locusts that couldn't drive because it came in like you picture a blizzard of snow. This is a blizzard of locusts. It's a modern plague that I saw a picture in the newspaper. And I saved it. I don't have it here. It's incredible. So Hashem shows his power over having control over the wind and being able to carry huge amounts of locusts and bring it where it wants, where Hashem wants to land it. After that goes the next level, light and darkness. Another incredible feat where Hashem has complete control over the light and darkness, that you could be living in the daytime where it's completely dark even though there's a sun, and at the same time a Jew is walking around and he sees everything. In your life it's dark, in the life of the Jew it's bright and light. A miracle. Couldn't stop it. And they say, the Torah tells us that the first 3 days were thick, was thick darkness, but they were able to move around. The second 3 days of Choshech, they were paralyzed. They couldn't move. Then finally came Makkos Bechoros. What was all this, the purpose? The purpose of this, of the revelation of God's tremendous power and control over nature that the Bnei Yisrael were able to witness, was to instill in the Jewish people emunah and betachin, faith and reliance on Hashem. And when Hashem wanted the Jewish people to leave with Mitzrayim, with the fact that they are not anymore avodim, slaves to Paro, but they are avodim to Hashem. That was the purpose. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim shouldn't only just be so they're free from bondage, so they no longer have to work. That was not the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're going to soon see in the Psukim, had a number of functions. And one function was that we should be avodim, dedicated to Hashem, and like we say in the end of Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I'm Hashem your God who will take you out of Mitzrayim, Lios Lachem Le'lokim, to be for you for a God. To be for you for a God means I'm going to protect you, but you have to serve me. If you don't serve me, how am I going to be your God? The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that you should be serving me and not Paro.
So it was a transfer of servant.
Exactly.
They were serving Paro, and then now the serving was going to continue, but
exactly
God and Moses.
And as far as if you want to see...
They never got out of servant.
But you want to see the broader picture... The broader picture is that this whole 400 years of being strangers in the land and not being independent on your own and being slaves and being subjected to slavery and other difficulties was to hone the Jew into the mindset of being a servant, and once you are a servant to a human king, then you will transfer that mindset to be a servant of Hashem. So in other words, it was a preparatory step to Avodas Hashem and ultimately for Kabbalah HaTorah.
So that might be a big reason why God put them into a position of servitude and bondage.
That might be, but that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
And this incubator for Avodas Hashem.
Exactly. This was the preparatory step for Kabbalah HaTorah. Now, in order for us not to forget this, there are certain things that we are obligated to do, never to forget. And we're going to read some of the Pesukim, we'll learn a little bit insight into the Pesukim, and we'll further discuss it. Do you have a question?
The question was,
yeah,
a different kind of mass, it's not slavery, it's the qualities.
It's called servitude.
And the qualities of who you're serving are totally different.
Exactly, but the purpose of now serving Hashem is not that you should be tortured,
right,
but that you should be uplifted.
Right.
By being an Eved Hashem is like being the Eved of a king, and you walk around with honor and pride. But to be able to get to that level, they had to experience as a people the servitude towards a human king.
I guess you could say that servitude, like any other tools, isn't inherently good or bad. It's a function of how it's used.
If true.
It's used for good or
true,
for good.
True, true. At this point, we have finished the servitude towards a human king. And now we're now transferring this servitude now to Hashem.
Was it a transfer of ownership?
In a sense, because right now, if Hashem redeemed us, so now we have whom we are obligated to show Hakaras HaTov. We are now obligated to show our gratitude for having been redeemed from slavery. So now we have the mitzvah of always remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember that Hashem took us out, and therefore we owe Him constantly, always, to remember that He saved us, and we owe Him something in return.
Don't oversimplify that it's a transfer of servitude. It's a total
ownership.
Ownership. It's a totally different.
Well, Pharaoh did own them. And now God's saying, you're going to serve me.
Well,
you're not going to serve a man.
Yeah, but I explained that before, that it's very, very different. Because the servitude is an upgrade and not a downgrade. It's an upgrade that the Jewish people have gone from the lowest level to almost to from nothing till on the highest level, where we know they reached Kabbalah Satara. They were in Mem Tes Shari Tumah, the lowest level, almost the lowest level of Tumah. 4/5 didn't even make it. And those that did reached a pinnacle. So it was a tremendous upgrade that we became an Amnifka, we became a chosen people, and we received the Torah.
I was just going to say, there's also another essential difference from a current world point of view, is that Pharaoh, when he was in control of us, if he wanted us to do something, he'd send slave masters and make us do something.
Right.
Hashem simply expects it of us. And we don't know what the repercussions are for another 120 years. So sometimes we choose not to follow. In this world, there doesn't seem to be a lot of repercussions for that. Next world, for sure.
But there's a very, very big difference
in it being in your face all the time, like, no, you're my slave, versus, no, I'm choosing to serve you. Because sometimes that's what, at the end of the day, what we have to do.
All right. Let me just qualify that. We think this way only because we don't have a base of Mikdash. If we would have a base of Mikdash, we wouldn't think totally this way, because we would have a Beis Din that would be able to enforce.
We'd know right away.
We would have various things. There would be Tumah of Tzaras for speaking Lashon Hara.
Yeah.
There would be a fear of doing the wrong thing, and we would feel
the repercussions
of doing.
Well, with the first one, with the second Beis Hamikdash, we didn't have that.
That is true, but we're talking about now after with Mashiach comes.
So that would be the ideal situation.
With Mashiach's coming speedily in our days, we'll be able to see a very, very big difference of that. But what you're saying is true. We will never know until 120 years, and now after I painted this picture of how the Jewish people were like in cheder, in a schoolroom of learning of Hashem's emuna, faith in his dedication of saving the Jewish people, and now therefore in return we are expected to trust in Him and follow His Torah. We have a mitzvah. The Torah tells us right away is a mitzvah of Pidyon Bechor. And the first parsha, the Pidyon Bechor, the redeeming the first child. We're going to read it inside. It's pasuk. It's Aleph and Beis. Vidab Hashem on Moshe Leiman, page 360. Kadosh Likol Bechor. You shall sanctify every firstborn, Petra Kol Rechem, the opening of every womb of Israel, Ba'odum, whether it's by a human, or by Behema, or from an animal, Li Hu. To me it is. There is to remind you that the firstborn child belongs to me. The firstborn animal belongs to me. You'll always have children. You'll always have animals, livestock. The first, and it has to be a kosher animal, of course. There are rules about that. Belongs to me. Continue on Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Moshe el Ha'om, Zochor es Yom Hazeh. Remember this day, Asher Yetzasim in Mitzrayim. They have taken you out of Egypt, Mibeis Avodim, from the house of slavery. Ki b'chayzik yod, Hoysi Hashem Eschem Yizeh. Because with a mighty hand, He has taken you out from here. V'lo Yeyocho Chometz. And now He begins the laws of Pesach, and you shouldn't eat. Now, what does this mean? Over here, you shall remember. So Rashi explains, you are to remember every day. Every day of your life, you have a mitzvah to mention the going out of Mitzrayim. It's one of the six things we're obligated to remember every single day. And whether you say it as a pasuk, you still say it in davening, you say it in krishma, you say it in benching, on Shabbos you say it in kiddush, you say it constantly to remember that Hashem has taken us out of Mitzrayim. And one of the ways that we are told to remember this is that we were saved at Makkos Bechoros, the ultimate of all the Makkos, where Hashem had killed the firstborn, and you'll never forget that by remember that your firstborn, had they been there, would have been in danger. Had it not been for the Korban Pesach being displayed the blood on the post and on the lintel, then even the firstborn Jew could have been killed. But because we fulfilled the mitzvah and we stayed in the homes, the houses at the time, we were saved. So right away, Hashem is saying, I make sure you'll never forget that. That the firstborn child, the male child, and the firstborn kosher and a male animal, you have to dedicate it to Hashem.
How do you do that?
Huh?
How do you do that?
That means to say, we the firstborn child that's a male belongs to the Kohen. But we have to redeem it to make it ours. Where the Kohen goes ahead, if you've ever been at a Pidyon HaBen, the Kohen asks you, taking the child, what would you prefer? Would you prefer I take the child, or would you like to redeem the child with a 5 shekelim? Naturally, the father says, there is a certain text that is read, and the father says, I am prepared to redeem him with the 5 shekelim. We will give you the 5 shekelim. You can give me back my child. But until the redemption is taking place, it doesn't belong to the father and mother. It belongs to the Kohen. In order to be able to show our Hakaras HaTov, our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and never to forget, we were given a mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Rechem, which is the firstborn child and the firstborn animal, to always remember this.
And Peter, that, right?
Huh? Peter means the opening
you
of the Rechem.
Pidyon,
well,
Pidyon,
right? But we know it's really Peter. Kol Bechor Peter Kol Rechem. Peter Kol Rechem, the opening of the womb of that comes out of a male child or an animal. It helps us remember. Now, the parsha continues on, and I'm going to ask you to focus on another pasuk. Pasuk Tes on page 362 in the art scroll. Ah, Actually, if you don't mind, we'll go back one pasuk. Pasuk Ches. V'yigadetu levincha v'yemahu le'imon. You shall tell your son in that day, saying, referring to the holiday of Pesach. Ba'avur zeh, because of this, of doing mitzvahs, asa Hashem li, Hashem has done to me, b'tzeisi mimitzrayim, by taking me out of Egypt. And there shall be a sign on your hand, referring to tefillin, and a remembrance between your eyes, in order that the Torah Hashem shall be in your mouth, because with a strong hand Hashem has taken you out of Egypt. Another memory to remember and show gratitude to Hashem is to wear tefillin. And wearing tefillin reminds us, we wear it every day, except on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it reminds us of our obligation to show Hakaras HaTov, recognition to God for having taken us out of Egypt. Now, in what way do we... Okay, we wear the tefillin, and what is it, and how do we remind ourselves? And in what way do we show the gratitude? We're told we have to show gratitude. We're told we have to show, we remember. So we remember, number one, by the petarechem, by the firstborn. We show gratitude, we remember by wearing tefillin. But what's the purpose of that? To remind ourselves of Yetzias Mitzrayim. How does it show? How do we show gratitude?
We recite Shema twice a day.
Okay, we recite, and that we remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim
and everything else that it says in there.
That is true.
We dedicate the firstborn.
Huh?
That's a form of gratitude. You said
no. That's to remember. To remember that we're. To remember Yetzias Mitzrayim is the firstborn, is setting aside the firstborn. Yeah. And another thing to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim is wearing tefillin. But then how do we show gratitude? This is my next question. Laman, so we said the Pasik and Pasik Tes. Laman Ti Yeteres Hashem Beficha. That is how we show gratitude. In order that we will have the Torah in our mouths, will dedicate by learning Torah is showing gratitude.
So,
yes.
I have a question. So when we go back gratitude? To the beginning here,
yes,
the Bear denial Moshe Lemor, and then it says Vayomer Moshe El Ha'am. So he had the whole nation gather. What's the chronology of that?
The what?
Pasuk Gimel. When was the whole nation? When did
Well, how he assembled everybody together?
Is it by messenger or?
The truth of the matter is, it could have been where he spoke to the Zakenim, to the elders, as they were the emissaries to the rest of the Jewish people. It's not clear that he stood at a podium and he had hundreds of thousands in front of him.
We weren't at Har Sinai yet. So here's my question, and it talks about, now you're saying, Laman Hashem Befich. So Torah, I mean, I understand it means learning of things, but what's the definition of, like, I thought Torah was the
definition of the words Laman Tietos Hashem Beficha. Hashem took us out of Egypt in order that the Torah should be in our mouths.
But we didn't know the Torah yet.
That is true, but we're being told told it's coming.
There is
instructions right now. Right now, they were told some of the Torah, the laws of Pesach, Korban Pesach, the laws of Matzah and Chametz and all that. But they were being, that's a very good question. They said, when was this all being told?
And then what you wear, the tefillin, and what's written inside the tefillin.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to figure out.
Of course, it wasn't then. They didn't have it then, but they were going to be told that later there's going to be a Torah. And the purpose of wearing the tefillin, because the Jewish people at that point had no tefillin, but they were going to, Moshe is telling the Jewish people about what is being required in order to be able to show gratitude. We know we're being reminded. We're being reminded by the Petarechim. We're being reminded by wearing tefillin. But what's the purpose of wearing tefillin? The purpose of wearing tefillin is to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So even though it didn't happen yet, this lays the groundwork.
Exactly. We're laying the ground, and the purpose of being redeemed from Egypt is not that we should be able to bake in the Negev and have sipping pineapple juice in a hammock.
That's what I did.
This is not the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is in the pasuk, "Laman tiye Torah Hashem beficha." Hashem wants you to be His servant. And He put you through this avdus to give you a little bit of a flavor, of an experience, what it means to have a king where you had to serve him, and now we're going to transfer ownership, but you'll be my king, you'll be my servant, but you'll be my servant how? By learning Torah and becoming a better person. This is how you are going to upgrade yourself to a level that'll make Yetzias Mitzrayim a meaningful experience.
How many times is he reminding of this in Torah?
I don't have an exact number, but many.
Is it the most repetition, you think?
I'm not prepared to say that, but it's very often we're being reminded. We're being reminded here. We're reminded in Shema. Right.
There's more times than that.
We're reminded in Aseret Adibros, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. This first commandment. This is all over the Torah. We're being reminded that this is the purpose. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we should be able to serve Hashem, and we should be able to learn His Torah.
He must have known how thick we are. And that we need constant reminding all the time.
Okay, but maybe he is not being sick.
Some more than others.
He knows.
We're very thick.
I don't know about the word thick. He knows human nature is to forget. And we need constant reminders. And by being constantly reminded, we will therefore live up to our obligation and our responsibilities. But what's very important to recognize over here, number one, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Laman Tietaras Hashem Beficha. The purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is like we say in Krishma, Ani Hashem Kechem Asher Hotzeicha. So I have to say, the Eretz Mitzrayim, Rios Lachem Lelokim. I am taking you out, so I am your God. And I need you to comply. I need you to be part of an active, committed Jewish people. This is the whole purpose. Now, once we have this set, this Hakara Satov, we became free. We became a free people. Once this Hakara Satov came into play, right, then the next Hakara Satov is the parsha right after is Pidyon Petah Chamor, the very, very next mitzvah, again to remember that when we left Egypt, according to a Medrash, 90 donkeys per person helped each person carry their load. So everything here falls into place with Hakara Satov. We show our dedication, our gratitude to Hashem by learning Torah. We show our gratitude to Hashem by Pidyon Peter Rechem. We show our gratitude to our Kodesh Baruch Hu now by using the chamor, right, as a mitzvah to redeem the chamor, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim on another level. Never to forget Yetzias Mitzrayim, always to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore it's no wonder that I mentioned before, it's the first commandment. Ani Hashem Elog Kecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, because you've seen it, you've experienced, and you are grateful for it.
Don't you think that freedom is somewhat illusionary? I mean, under Pharaoh, our movements are very restricted. And then there's a transfer of power to God and Moses, and our movements are very restricted under them too.
You know something? It's relative. We say restricted. Restricted is in how you view restriction.
I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Please correct me.
Yeah.
But under Pharaoh, if I'm not mistaken, the Midrash says he was having men do women's work and women do men's work.
Yeah.
It wasn't purposeful. Under Hashem, everything
they were
you
building
do,
cities. That's very purposeful.
No, they were building
the cities.
But they were building cities on quicksand, and they were crumbling. And it was like what Brad's saying. They were just to be slaves, to work as slaves. Let me explain something to you.
You'll get a
much bigger picture. By being bound to a certain code of ethics and a certain body of laws, once you live within those limits, then you're free. You're a free person. Give you an example. You take a kindergarten child and you put him in a gated area and you say, this is the area where you are allowed to play. And you announce recess. They run out excited, they're free, they're happy, they skip, they jump, they throw their ball. And take away the gate and there's cars rushing from all over the sides. And you say, go ahead and play. The children are not safe. The children, I'm not sure. They don't feel that they are free to do what they want, and they hear honking cars, traffic and all around them with no gate. Put a gate around them and say, within the gated area, you're free to do what you want. That's true freedom. Tell a little child that, and he feels free like a bird. We, Bnei Israel, have been given by Hashem a code of Jewish law that gives us limitations. And when you live within these limitations, you feel like a Ben Chorin. Ain Ben Chorin Ela Mi Shalom Ad Batorah. There's no freer person than a person who sits in, who is controlled by the body of Torah. Because when you live within these limitations, then you know you're not making mistakes, you're not doing something silly, you're not doing something foolish, you're not doing something dangerous. I heard a beautiful mashal where this will finish. My father, he should be well, told me from the dying in London, he explains. If you look at a tzitzis, you see tzitzis all knotted up. At the end of the tzitzis, it's dangled free. The Jew is compared to the tzitzis that is wound and bound by the 630 mitzvahs. And once you are wound and bound by the tzitzis, then you're free. You're free to live like a free, happy, emotionally content person. What happens the other way? You want to live free. Take it the other way around. You want to live free, do what you want, live like you want, eat what you want, act like you want, speak like you want, behave like you want, and all of a sudden it becomes the other way around. Then your life gets knotted up. This he said in the name of a Dayan in I'm not sure the name, Dayan Grunfeld, in Great Britain. But it's a beautiful mashal that when you are limited to the laws of the Torah and you follow its precepts, then you're free like a bird. then you're free, you feel emotionally free, you feel happy, you feel physically free, because you're living within these limitations. You know you're doing the right thing, you're not stepping on anyone's toes, you're doing what you're supposed to do. But if it's the other way around, you will do what you want, then you end up, how many people do what they want and they're involved, they take drugs, and all of a sudden they find themselves in prison. People are acting irresponsibly, and they find themselves
like a nut.
Yeah, that's what it is. All knotted up. Just the opposite. You understand? First, you start off free. I do what you want. I eat what I want. I behave like I want. And all of a sudden, things don't work out that way. You get all knotted up. And that's how the rest of your life is. All knotted up. And therefore, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is L'mantia Torah Hashem Beficha, in order that the Torah should be in your mouth for the rest of your life. And if that is the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we are reminded by Tefillin, we're reminded of Petarechem, whether it's the human, or whether it's a kosher animal, or even a pet chamor, reminded about that, and we show Hakaras HaTov all the time, and we're reminded throughout our davening every single day, even Shabbos, every single day, and that will be a reason to feel free to serve Hashem with our entire heart and with our entire soul. Have a wonderful week.